We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray, let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the day.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power. I'm Tina Dobbs, sitting in the driver's seat this morning. My sister in Christ, Monica Lovell, is over there running the iPad for us. And our guest this morning is Pastor Scott Rogers. How are you this morning?
Better late than never.
See, and you didn't even have to say that.
Oh, no, they would just think I'll own up to it. I'm the reason. It is not their fault we're behind this morning. I literally was getting, I was ready. I was coming. I went to my office for just a second, and I thought, oh, I got plenty of time. And then I was like, oh, my gosh, Hour Power. And about the time I run into my car, I get a call from Monica. Are you okay? I'm like, yes, I'm okay. I'm coming. So it is my fault, but thank you all for being patient. We'll have fun today anyway.
We were just glad you're okay.
I appreciate that.
and we're glad you're here.
Thank you.
Our Facebook sponsor for today is Spain's Construction out of Weatherford, Oklahoma. Quality work by a company with Christian values. Please like, share, and comment to let us know you're joining us, even if it's the replay. And if you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can email us at hourpower32@gmail.com, or you can comment on the Facebook post, and we'll do our best to get it on paper and pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll do our best to get that uploaded shortly after the program has ended. I think I covered it all.
Did good.
Would you like to pray to start us
sure
out?
Sure would. Let's start with a word of prayer. Gracious God, this morning we just pray, Lord, for your blessing to be upon us. We pray that the words that are spoken here today are yours, and we pray, God, that they will touch our lives. For all of our prayer requests today, we hand them over to you, and we give this time this morning to you. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I like your title. Equipping for God's call.
Okay, yeah. So the opening's going to be a hair bit interactive. I'll need y'all to participate. Do either one of you have siblings?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Did you play games as kids?
Yes.
Okay, good. Good. Did you have rules for the games you played?
Sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah.
Sometimes we make them up so we can
Well, it's funny you say that. So my sister and I, we're 3.5 years apart. We're friends. I mean, we travel together, even now as adults. But we had a rule, like if we were going to have a fight or a wrestling match, right? No pinching, biting, scratching, or bending a finger's back.
Oh.
Now,
y'all
my sister cheated.
Civilized.
Well, no. You can see that my sister cheats because none of my fingers are straight. And that's not, I didn't play football, so it's not like they got caught in a helmet. This is my sister's doing that. None of my fingers are straight.
Savage.
Well, but you got to think. I mean, she had to keep up with her bigger brother. I mean, I've been a big guy my whole life, and so I was always bigger than her, and so that was her way to fight back. And it was effective, let me just say. But anyway, the reason I ask you about if you play games with a sibling is there was a game that my sister and I created, completely, completely stupid, completely terrible, called Shoe Brain. Now, if you're saying, I've never heard of Shoe Brain, nope. And if you had, I'd worry about you. So, here's the funny thing. The game was a kind of a card game, and you got rid of your cards. But here's the interesting thing about Shoe Brain. The rules were never the same twice. Mm-hmm. We just made it up and changed it at will, whenever we wanted, however we wanted, usually to our advantage. It was funny. I was talking to my mom a couple weeks ago, and I somehow or other I was thinking about a sermon. And I was going to use this illustration about Shoe Brain, and I mentioned it to my mom, and I mean, we were on FaceTime. The eye roll, like, oh, please don't tell them about Shoe Brain. My mom was like, "That's the stupidest thing ever," and I was like, "I know, right?" But what made it stupid, the reason you don't want to play it, and like I said, if you've ever heard of it, I'm not sure what to say. That says about you. Is that the way to play was arbitrary. You didn't have a set of rules that you could go, okay, that's how I can strategize, or that's how we win, or that's how we lose. Or, you know, when you play Uno, right? You play either the same number or the same color or a wild card, right? Now, there might be some variations of the game, but there's a set of objectives to reach the end goal. And the reality is, most of us like that system better. Mm-hmm. In the days before phone GPS, you would get a map, or you might call AAA, right? You'd say, I'm going to go from Elk City to Norman, which I'll be driving later today, right? Elk City to Norman. And maybe you don't drive it all the time, and so you would get a map out to see the road. And you might even have two routes in case one of them got blocked or something, mm-hmm. an alternative. But you would want to know the things along the way. If you're going on a cross-country trip, I remember when I was probably 11 or 12 years old, we went to California. And, you know, I remember my dad talking about, we're going to stop at this site along the way. We went to the Painted Desert, and then we went to the Grand Canyon. And, you know, along the way, there were markers, objectives. Mm-hmm. On the way to California. This is how our mind really works. We like to know not only the end result of the journey, but how the journey is going to go. Mm-hmm. Okay? That makes sense to us. If you were to ask me to go and do something, I might ask you, well, what are we doing? Mm-hmm. And you might tell me, well, what am I going to need? Well, let's say you want me to come help you fix your deck on your porch. You might say, Scott, I need you to bring a saw. I need you to, you know, maybe watch a YouTube video on how to butt the joints together, right? I would have at least enough to go on that I could then start putting the pieces together to get from A to B, B to C, C to D, and on down the line. But what if you do if you don't? Like when we played Shoe Brain. A to B changed. B to C changed. It was never consistent. What do you do when there is nothing or it's inconsistent? How ready are you then to say, okay, I'm in? I'm not. I remember for years, I helped run a youth mission camp called Youth Force. And we sided houses. That's what we did. And I was always thankful because construction is really not my thing. I was more the, you know, taking care of the finances, getting groups together, that kind of mm-hmm. stuff was more my thing. But I was so thankful on our team, we had a person who would go and measure the houses and order the materials. And then we had another person on our team that was sort of an expert who would walk all of our leaders who do other jobs. This is what you need to do first, and here's what you do second, and here's what you do third. To the point that by the end of the week, 4, 5, 6, 7, sometimes 8 houses have new siding, right? But what if we had just dropped you in and said, okay, house, material, or maybe we don't even give you material. Just say, house, side, 4 days. I'm turning around and going home. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you. I'm out, right? I'm out. I'm done, right? I'm finished. But what if I told you that I actually think that is more of a biblical call than the other? What if I actually said to you that I think our call from God is much more like Shoe Brain than an Apple map? Now, at first, that kind of makes my soul hurt a little. causes me a little pain in the brain. Mm-hmm. Causes me a little heartache, a little, maybe a little indigestion.
A little anxiety.
A little bit of anxiety. But when you look at calls from God, typically they have a direction. But are often light on detail.
Oh, yes. I feel that.
And I wonder sometimes if that's not why we will often find ways to not answer. You know, it's kind of one of my pet peeves, and every church I've served, I've been a pastor for 24 years, and before that I did youth and things like that. But it's one of those things I say a lot, so I'm sure if any of my church folks are listening, you're like, oh, I've heard this before. I am not convinced that we are actually telling the truth when we say, well, God's never called me to do anything. I respond to that typically with, I just think we're afraid to answer. I think oftentimes we do know what God wants of us. Mm-hmm. I think deep down we do have those moments of conscience, those moments of, I would argue, the Holy Spirit moments, but certainly those moments where you realize you're like, I really should go do that, right? I should go help that person, or I really should go participate in that mission trip, or I really should offer forgiveness to this person, even though I don't really want to. I mean, we all of those things, I tend to believe that most of the time we actually know those things. But we choose not to do them. And so the way we get around it in our mind, because we are really good at mental gymnastics, mm-hmm. is to turn it and say, well, I've never felt that call. Mm. I don't know, you know, God hasn't given me a word on that. Mm. Okay. I mean, we do it, don't we? I mean, am I saying anything? I hate that it resonates. I really do. I wish it didn't. I wish I didn't have personal stories and personal feelings about this. One of the privileges that I get right now in the larger portion of my ministry is I get to serve on boards where we interview new clergy. And so many of them have a similar story to my own. I thought God might be calling, but I was like, nah. You know, God's not calling me. You know, doesn't God know who I am? You know, kind of things like that. And yet, God is persistent. Mm-hmm. Well, this morning, I want to look at one specific call and talk about why not only do I believe God still calls us, but B, how God equips those that he calls. And I want to do that with one of the most famous stories in the entire Bible, not just an important and famous call story, but maybe one of the most, again, famous of all biblical stories, the burning bush. I mean, even little kids, right? We make whole VBSs based on the burning bush story, right? Mm-hmm. And it's a story from Exodus chapter 3. And in it, Moses is tending the flocks of his father-in-law. And seemingly, again, we don't get all the backstory, but seemingly just a typical, normal day. Now, you remember, Moses has been doing this for about 40 years. So imagine, you know, every day for 40 years, taking the flocks up the top of the mountain to get to the good grass and blah, blah, blah. And it's a very routine thing. But he looks over and he sees a bush in the distance that is on fire. That is not abnormal. Lightning, other things that happen, other fires. That's not the uncommon part. Mm-hmm. What's uncommon and what catches Moses' eye is not that the bush is on fire. It's that the bush isn't burning up. Mm-hmm. Now, if you have ever been to a desert or even a mountainous area, I've actually been to Israel. the mountains and the desert, it's kind of, you know, we think of a desert sometimes with lots of sand like the Sahara. Desert can be just a void of rocky, hard-to-grow place. This, you think about, I mean, the mountains where Moses would have been, they're rocky and they're the ground is shallow and hard to grow. I mean, it's just, you know, it's sparse. Mm-hmm. And so it's pretty dry. That's why, by the way, if you notice in Scripture, they're always building wadis and things like that to move water. And so a bush that catches fire is going to burn up fast.
Right.
Okay? And so Moses sees this and he's like, what is that? And so he heads toward it because, I mean, I think I would have, you know. Mm-hmm. But as he approaches, he hears the voice of God saying, Moses, you know, this is holy ground. Take your shoes off. You're standing in the presence of the Lord. Moses again tries to hide his face. He's like, whoa, what? You know, wait a minute, hold on, time out. Yeah. And God proceeds to call Moses into, again, one of the most famous of all calls in the Bible. Moses, I want you to go to Pharaoh in Egypt and say, let my people go. I almost can hear the old Charlton Heston movie, let my people go, you know. Now that's a call. That is an objective. Mm-hmm. That is a point A to point Z, right? Mm-hmm. We are here today at the burning bush that's not burning up. And by the way, the end result will be the people are going to leave, exit Egypt, and worship on this mountain. The Hebrew slaves that have been enslaved now, by the way, for over 400 years. Are you in? Here's where I want to, you know, one of the things I like to do sometimes is, okay, let's push the pause button for a moment. Is he serious? By the way, don't listen in here. This is not your car conversation. Is that really in there? Please tell me I'm making this up, right? That's not really in here, is it? Because, I mean, surely there's more, right? Surely God's not doing this to Moses, right? This isn't fair, because if God did this to me, I'm out, right? I'm no way, right? All right, let's unpause. So, back to the real story. Do you blame Moses here? Mm-mm. I do not. When I read this story, I'm almost floored by what is said. Now, we have the benefit, because I've heard, look, and I'll be honest, sometimes we as preachers, we get a little ahead of ourselves, and we will say things like, well, of course he should have been faithful, and we'll say things like that, and I think that's, quite frankly, not fair. Because we have the benefit of being on this side of the event. Because here's what God could have said. Moses, let my people go. I'm going to send plagues on Egypt. I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart. He's going to repent. He's going to harden again. It's going to happen a couple of times. I'm going to send the Passover. And then when you run and he chases you, I'm going to part the Red Sea. And then when I part the Red Sea, you're going to cross the Red Sea on dry ground. And then when you cross into the wilderness, I'm going to provide manna in the morning and quail in the evening. And then eventually I will get you to the promised land. Now, if you lead with that, I might say yes. If God had led with that, then maybe Moses goes, oh, okay, that makes sense. Yeah, I'm in. Moses gets none of it. Moses simply gets, let my people go. And you see, that's why I think this call resonates with us so much. Because that is the way calls come. There is a tremendous element of faith in not knowing A to B, B to C, C to D. And trusting that A to Z really really is important and really is the right thing. I mentioned to you all off camera that tonight I'm going to Norman to preach at the OU Wesley, the Methodist Student Center there on campus. It's where I got my call to ministry 27 years ago. And I remember sitting in the little small chapel there, and I had felt a call to ministry, and I didn't... I wanted to say yes, I really did, but I just couldn't... I couldn't get the words out, you know? And I remember when I did, there was a peace, but a peace that immediately led to, well, that means there's this and this, and what's going to, you know... There's no way 27 year ago me, I'd have been about 20, 21 years old at the time. There is no way 20 year old me would have ever thought that on April 23rd of 2024, I'd be sitting in a studio in Elk City, Oklahoma, running 10 minutes behind and preaching and talking about this today. There's no way I could have known all those details. Mm-hmm. And that's really how calls work. It's also what makes them hard to answer. Mm-hmm. Because in some respects, I can 100% empathize with Moses. Mm-hmm. I can 100% empathize with the hesitancy that he faces. Mm-hmm. Because let my people go is not some trivial call. And of all people, God asks me to do it. Now, we're going to stop and do our prayer request. And when we come back from the break, I'm going to go through with you Moses' five excuses as to why, and talk about what it means for God to equip us, even when we don't know all the details. So we'll talk about that when we come back.
I'm excited to hear about that stuff.
Did you get the two off of Facebook?
I did not.